You're listening to a Marketplace special on the economics of disability. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. So far on this show, we've talked about education and employment. We want to move now to healthcare, and we've got another co-host for this section.
Hi, I'm John Margetis. I'm an assistant professor of clinical occupational therapy at Keck Medical Center of USC, and I was born with congenital amputations of both hands and both feet. One of the big issues in healthcare and disability is the transition from pediatric care into adult medicine.
For a lot of people with developmental disabilities like cerebral palsy or spina bifida, finding care as an adult can be a challenge.
This is in part because these disabilities have been linked to childhood for a long time. But with better medical care, people with these conditions are living longer into adulthood.
And they're aging out of pediatric care.
That's where transition medicine comes in.
Dr. Dan Linfesti is an internal medicine and pediatric specialist at the Eskenazi Health Center for Youth and Adults with Conditions of Childhood, based in Indiana.
He joined us from his clinic, where his team of doctors, nurses, and social workers assist patients ages 12 to 26 transition successfully from childhood into adult medicine. We started with a look at some of the challenges patients face as they transition into adult care.
We see a lot of patients with cerebral palsy, and so I think they're a great example of some of the differences between adult healthcare and pediatric healthcare. So at our local children's hospital, they have a disease-specific clinic. So they have cerebral palsy clinic where the families can come in and all of the medical providers that are involved in the care kind of rotate through the room. So they could see an orthopedic surgeon or the neurosurgeon or the neurologist or have their wheelchair adjusted. So it's kind of one-stop centralized location for them to get all the care they need. So when they transition away from the pediatric hospital, a clinic like that doesn't exist anymore.
You know, a lot of the things that you're talking about obviously require a lot of money. How much funding is out there to develop this as a specialty or really build on the kind of resources available to families?
So a lot of the work we do is not funded by traditional healthcare reimbursement schemes. So we spend a lot of time with our patients, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. So I can bill for that time. But all the time that we spend in chart review, getting their medical history done, or the care coordination afterwards is not funded by traditional healthcare financing. So our clinic is grant supported. The way we get, you know, help families out, or the way Medicaid in the state of Indiana helps out, there are what's called the Medicaid waiver program. And this allows families to get additional funding beyond what Medicaid would traditionally pay for health services. So this might include things like, you know, if they want to go to a day program, or if they need a home health aide, or if the parents or caregivers need some respite care, Medicaid waiver programs help provide funding for that.
Now, there are some more robust programs out there, KIAC, yours being one of them. Do you have any sense of whether this type of transition care is less accessible in rural communities?
So individual doctors in primary care offices and subspecialists do some of this work on their own without needing our help, but specifically a clinic like ours set up, we're the only one in the state of Indiana.
With the size of Indiana and just the size of the states in the U.S., is there any move for providers like yourself to have telehealth access?
Yeah, that's something we've actually talked about in our clinic because, like you're saying, we have patients travel from all over the state to see us, so they may travel several hours to get to our appointment. And so we've actually had some discussions with some large primary care clinics to see if we could set up a telemedicine room so that we can have patients come to their site and then we communicate with them that way.
How does this work for low-income patients or for folks who are aging out of insurance or need to set up special needs trusts? Like, sort of, what do you see in your population?
Income and finances, you know, is always a challenge in healthcare. So some of the services that we talk to families about being really important sometimes are expensive, and they don't have money for it. So, So for example, one thing we talk about is the need for either supported decision making or something like guardianship. You know, when patients turn 18, they become their legal decision maker. There's a fair amount of our patients that that's not appropriate for them, that they're not going to be able to make their own decisions in a safe way, and they need a legal guardian. So to get that appointment, it costs money, and you need a lawyer for that. That's a barrier for some families.
What do they do if they can't afford that?
Locally, we've been able to partner with some local law firms to provide some pro bono services to these families, and that's all I have.
So we've been talking mostly about people who have ongoing developmental conditions, mm-hmm. and they need treatment throughout adolescence and into adulthood. But what are some of the challenges for someone who is diagnosed or injured during this so-called gap or transition period? What are their options?
Most commonly, what I would see is a patient maybe with like a traumatic brain injury that would fall into that category. And there is a traumatic brain injury waiver in Indiana that is there to help these individuals get, you know, if they need more intensive rehab or other services, it is an option that we have for them.
There are going to be people listening to this, you know, who are maybe experiencing this in their own life, in their family's life. What suggestions do you have for families or people who are looking for transition care right now?
It's really important that families plan for this transitional period. It may sound like simple steps, but, you know, learning how to make it a doctor's appointment and learning what your medications are and learning how to advocate for yourself at a doctor's appointment, it's very important. And that's what they need to start developing in those kind of teenage years so that when they turn 18, that it's not a, you know, a giant jump from being seen in the pediatric world up into the adult medicine world, and so that they're prepared for that.
Dr. Dan Linfesti is an internal medicine and pediatric specialist at the Eskenazi Health Center for Youth and Adults with Conditions of Childhood in Indiana. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Linfesti suggested we check out gottransition.org for more information. You can find a link to that and all of our economics of disability coverage on our website, marketplace.org.